The following study is a Wednesday night lesson given by guest speaker Bryn Ritchie at Athey Creek Christian Fellowship.
Good evening. My name is Bryn. One of the pastors here. I get to share with you guys tonight. Brett's over in Kansas City watching the game. Okay, last time I did that, I said Brett went to Brazil to watch the World Cup game, and I was joking. I'm joking tonight. I almost got in trouble for that, because apparently there were a number of people that forgot that Brett hates soccer. So, he was not in Brazil. He is not in Kansas City. Although I can give you a score update for those of you DVRing the game right now, would probably love that. It's good to be here with you guys. I'm going to pray one more time, if you'll allow me. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word and that we get to hear your voice through these words and hear your heart. And I pray that you would meet us here, that you'd teach us, and that you would really fill this place with your spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody has favorite people in the Bible, right? Favorite characters or heroes. Give me a couple of them. Joseph, Caleb, Joshua, Jesus is a good one. It wasn't a test. Elijah, Moses, David. Okay, thanks. So we're going to talk a little bit about David tonight. Almost didn't make it. So, one more question, a little quiz. And this will be subjective, but what was the best thing said about David in the Bible? A man after God's own heart. I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn there. Acts 13:22. This is Paul, actually, rehashing this story. But he says, "And when God had removed Saul, he raised up David to be their king, of whom God testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will.'" God said, David is a man after my heart. It's amazing. It's an amazing statement, and lots of you knew it, which is great. So we're going to look at David a little bit tonight, but I want to give you some background on why, a little bit of background on why, other than he's awesome, right? But why I'm going to talk about him tonight, and it really has to do with, you know, the fact, I'll start with, I love David. Always looked up to David. I think about him actually often. But I have found that as I read stories about him and as I think about him, as I'm going through my life, I have found a tendency every once in a while to get caught up reading those stories and start thinking that, and I'll try to convey this to you, but that I am David, okay? And not just David, it could be Moses, or it could be Joseph, or Joshua. Do you guys ever do this? And you don't have to raise your hand. Do you ever read yourself into the stories of the Bible? Maybe a little too far sometimes. Maybe I'm just really creative, okay, or a little narcissistic. It's okay. But here's what I mean. There was only one David. There was one Moses, one Daniel, one Mary Magdalene. These guys and gals, they were unique. They were special. Their stories are their stories, not mine or yours. It's taken me a long time to learn that, okay? I'm just confessing. There was only one battle of David and Goliath. the boss I've got to deal with, that mean boss I've got to deal with, he's not my Goliath to be defeated. Well, not my boss. Right? It's just an example, okay? Just an example. That term paper I've got to write, you know, that's not my own Red Sea that needs to part with angry Egyptians coming down on me in the form of red pens and bad grades, okay? My car breaking down on the way home tonight is not my version, my own personal lion's den that I need to survive through the night. And I hope you guys can hear my heart on this because, man, be inspired by David and Goliath, that story. Be stretched and humbled by the humility and meekness of Moses. Be encouraged and blessed by Daniel's faith in the midst of terrible, tough times, crazy times. Man, be inspired, be encouraged by those things. But we should probably remember that they are who they are, who God created them to be, and their stories are theirs. Man, bah humbug, Bryn. You know, I didn't come to hear you remind me how little I am and insignificant I am compared to David and Moses and those guys. Thanks a lot. I didn't need to come here tonight for that. Well, I think, actually, there's good news here, if you will believe it, if you can hear it tonight. You are exactly, now this might sound like some of the pep talks we heard from our parents when we were kids, and some of the same pep talks I've given to my own little kids, but you are, and it doesn't make it any less true, you are exactly who God created you to be. David was unique, but so are you. And you have your own story that God is working out in your life. Most importantly, more importantly, you can have your own special, intimate relationship with God. And it is just as important to God as his relationship with those others that we've just mentioned. It's just as important to him. And I don't think we think like that sometimes. I know that I have, and I think, David, man, if only, you know. So really, bro? I got that written in here, so I got to read it. Really, bro? Kind of out of context now. I kind of missed. Really, bro? God cares about me like he cares for David. He wants to have a relationship with me like he had with the man after his own heart. Yeah, I think he does. And so we're going to use David's life as an example to work through this problem, this question. So turn to... So we already read the verse, you know, in Acts, and it's also in 1 Samuel that talks about David being a man after God's heart, okay? But turn to Psalm 89, verse 20. We have in Psalm 89, this wasn't written by David, okay, and it was written after David lived, but we have in Psalm 89 an amazing description of David's relationship with God. We know that God calls David a man after his heart, but in this psalm, in Psalm 89, we get to see with real descriptiveness, I don't know if that's a word, what that really looks like. What does it mean to be a man after God's heart? We get to see really what God thinks about his servant David. So let's read it. I'm going to read several verses here. Psalm 89, verse 20. I have found David. This is God speaking through his prophet. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever and his throne as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever, and his throne as long as the sun before me. Like the moon, it shall be established forever, a faithful witness in the skies. Man, doesn't that give a little bit better picture of how God feels towards David, his servant? If only God could feel that way about me, to lay all that out and express all that love and those feelings for David. And really, that's the question I want to try and answer tonight. It was a question that the Lord posed to me. If David was indeed unique, and I'm not him, then what about his relationship with God? Is his relationship with God, was that unique too? Was that special just to him? Was he the only one? Is he the only one who really could be a man after God's heart? So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to kind of work through that question, and we're going to use Psalm 89 to do that. So we're going to take these verses God wrote about David and compare them to New Testament verses God wrote to us. My hope is you'll be as encouraged as I was. So in these 16 verses of Psalm 89, we see around 8 statements or promises God makes to David. And I've picked 4 of them for time's sake for us to look at. You guys follow me? There's about 8 statements in what we just read in Psalm 89 that God made to David. And we're going to take just 4 of them and examine those statements that God made to David. Amazing statements, amazing promises. And then we're going to look at verses in the New Testament that God has written to us and compare them, okay? And the guys have offered to even throw some up on the screen there so that you can compare them. I'd like you to be able to see them side by side without having to flip back and forth, okay? So why don't we start with the first one? Verse 20, you can see it there. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him. David was chosen by God, okay? He was chosen. We get to see this actually happen, and I'll just read it to you. You don't need to turn there. You can throw it in your notes if you want to. In 1 Samuel 10, we get to see when he was chosen by God. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head, David's head, and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be a sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be prince over his heritage." Okay, so David was chosen by God. He was anointed by a prophet. Now, you may not have been anointed with oil by an Old Testament prophet with a ram's horn, but you have been chosen by God. John 15. It's going to be up there too. John 15. Let's read this and see what Jesus says about us. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I, Jesus, chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." God, Jesus, chose you. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good. That's a good reminder. I know that, right? We all know that. But I get to remind you and tell you, Jesus chose you specifically, individually. And it was the God who created the heavens and the earth that chose you. Jesus wants to remind us of this. He took some time there to really describe what went into that decision. And honestly, as I read this and compare it to how David was chosen, Jesus' words here are far better, in my opinion. Just to me, in my opinion. than being doused in oil by some smelly prophet. Okay? He walked a long way, guys. Okay? He walked a long ways. Or rode his donkey. But being chosen, I mean, how huge is that? You know, from when we were kids, from the time we were kids, it was, we always have wanted to be chosen, whether it was by our parents or whether it was in sports or picking teams. I mean, all the stories, if you think back over your life of the times where you were chosen or not chosen and how that affected you. When I transitioned from junior high to high school, I went to a junior high that almost, well, very predominantly, it dumped into North Medford High School. I grew up in Medford. But I went to South Medford High School because I was right on the border. So I, in a sense, started over in high school as far as friends, really, and sports teams and all that. And I started over, and I remember going through that year, and I met some friends and played soccer and basketball, different stuff. But I didn't have any, like, real close friends yet like I had had in junior high. And I remember as soon as school was over that year, and I was at home, and it was kind of an interesting deal. I was kind of like, well, what do I do? You know, I had some friends, but there was nothing, like, what am I supposed to do all summer? And I'll never forget, it's so funny, this was so vivid to me as I thought about it today, receiving a phone call on a house line. Okay, they didn't have cell phones, but we had beepers, pagers. But receiving a phone call from a guy that was my friend that I had met. He was a couple years older. Well, mind you, I didn't have a car either, so I was 15, nowhere to go, nothing to, you know, I'm just sitting at home going, man. And I remember getting a call from my buddy Jeff, and he said, hey. And I said, hey. He's like, well, what are you doing? Like, let's hang out. You know, I'll come pick you up. He had a car. And it may sound really silly to you, but I don't think up until that point I'd ever had a best friend. You know, and I felt like in that moment this guy had chosen to be best friends with me, and it kind of makes me emotional to this day, remembering the feeling that came along with that. We have that, and obviously so much more. Jesus pointed at you tonight when we read this and said, "I chose you," and God chose David, and God chose you. Okay, so that's the first one. The first comparison we're going to look at. The next one, let's go to verse 21, okay? We'll see our next promise or statement that God made to David, and we'll compare it. Verse 21, so that my hand shall be established with him. God says, my hand will be established with David, and my arm also shall strengthen him. God promised David strength. He said, I will be with you, and I will be your strength. Do you guys remember the story of Ziklag? Sure you do, right? David and his men were out fighting Philistines. They were about 3 days away, and they came home to their city, Ziklag, and they found it had been raided by the Amalekites, who were just a brutal people. Their city had been raided, and they had taken all their money and gold and everything that they had of value there, and they'd also taken all of their women and wives and kids captive and stole them to take them to either keep them or sell them into slavery. And they're now racing home. The Amalekites are racing home to their homelands, okay, after making this raid. So David comes into the city, and they see everything is gone. Their families are gone. I don't know if you've ever put yourselves into these stories, like I just told you not to. No. To imagine them is important, okay? And to imagine the context of walking into a city that's burning and knowing that your family, your wife, and your kids were just there and now they're gone and you may never see them again. It was a dark day for David because they were his responsibility. He was in charge. He was the one who had led them out to fight the Philistines and left their family behind. So it was a dark day, and 1 Samuel, just for your notes, just one line, I'll read it to you. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, you know, David thought this was going to cost him his life, or it could cost him his life, and here's how we know that. David was greatly distressed, for the people, his people, His men spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. We see in this story David receiving strength just as the Lord had promised it to him. So God says, I will give you strength. We see in this story David receives strength. What about us? Do we have something similar to that? Many of you know that we do. So let's pull up the next one. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, now to him who is able, him being God, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Okay? Now, have you picked up what I'm trying to do here? I'm trying to find, we just read Psalm 89. It's an amazing letter or statement written to David, his boy. I mean, this man that he loves. He pours out his heart and his love to David. And what we're doing tonight is trying to show that every statement God made towards David, the man after his heart, he makes to us. And I'm only picking verses from the New Testament on purpose, because I don't want this Old Testament, New Testament dilemma or argument. I just want us to know that we know that God gives us strength. Everything he promised to David, he promises to us. Ephesians 3:20, we just read it. We've been given by God all the strength we need to face anything that comes our way. He's given us his strength, his spirit, and his power. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, it doesn't mean that everything will always be easy. Even in David, in the story of Ziklag, he says he strengthened himself in the Lord. Was the story over there? No, they had to run and chase and for a long time and catch up to the Amalekites, then fight them in battle and take their families back. But even in the midst of that, the Lord was with them. He went with them. He was the one who provided the strength for that. God gives us strength when we need it, doesn't he? If you live long enough and walked with the Lord long enough, you'll know, you can look back and see the times that he's seen you through those situations and given you the strength that you need. The next promise, verse 22 and 23. The enemy, verse 22, shall not outwit him, David. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. God defeats David's enemies. Don't you wish sometimes it was just like that, though, you know? Well, instead of it being like an old story picture of a New Testament principle, you wish the picture would show up and destroy people in your life sometimes or situations, the here and now. You know, we see this promise for David fulfilled perfectly in his first days, his very first days as the king of Israel. Flip over to 1 Chronicles, okay? Flip to your left. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, and we'll read it together, verse 8. God defeats David's enemies. We get to see that here. That's a great story. 1 Chronicles 14, verse 8. Right after Kings. When the Philistines had heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it, and he went out against them. Now the Philistines had come and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to him, go up, and I will give them into your hand. And he went up to Baal Perazim, and David struck them down there. And David said, God has broken through my enemies, but by my hand, like a bursting flood. Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal Perazim. And they left their gods there, and David gave command, and they were burned. And the Philistines, verse 13, yet again made a raid in the valley. And when David again inquired of God, God said to him, you shall not go up after them. Go around and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then go out to battle. For God has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. And David did as God commanded him. And they struck down the Philistine army from Gibeon to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. You know, when David needed God to fight for him, God never let him down. Didn't mean that he was always going to have the victory that he planned, or even for us, the victory that we want, by the way. For instance, for years in David's life, you guys remember when Saul chased him? For a year, you know, for a long time, David had to flee for his life from Saul. My plan, David's probably preferred plan, would be that they fight and get it over with and that he can move on with his life. That wasn't God's plan, and yet he still fought for David. He still protected him and watched over him through that whole time and provided for him and his men, and he saw him through. And I bet David could look back on that and see how the Lord had done exactly what he promised to him in this psalm. What about us? Will God fight for us when we need him? We're no David, right? So for this, we're going to look at two verses. 2 Timothy 4, for your notes, verse 18. So listen to what Paul says here. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 John 5:18. Two verses on this one. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he, Jesus, who was born of God, protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Jesus, who was born of God, protects us, just like David. God says, David, I will fight your enemies. I will protect you. Jesus says, I will protect you, us, in the same way, watching over us. We're his, and he's jealous for us, each and every one of his kids, and I love this. I love it. Okay, let's move to the last one. Verse 24 and 28 of the psalm. So Psalm 89, 24 and 28, and there's two of them because they basically say they both say the similar thing. Verse 24, my faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, David. My steadfast love I will keep for David forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. God loves David forever. And God will love us forever, as we'll see here. You know, we'll flip over to one more verse together, Psalm 36. Flip over to Psalm 36. I don't usually have this many verses in one teaching, but it's what the Lord wanted to do. I even put some up there so you could, I don't know if that helps or not. Psalm 36, verse 5. So we're going to read about five verses here. This is David's psalm. He's writing here. He says, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and let your righteousness to the up and your righteousness to the upright of heart. David knew God's love. God said, I will love you forever. David writes psalms, lots of them, that say, I know your love, God. I've experienced it. And it's just an indisputable fact. So let's look at what God's love for us looks like compared to what David experienced. In Romans, there's so many verses about God's love, but in Romans 8, Paul does a good job with this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, amen, right? You know, when you guys are reading and doing your devos and you're reading through Romans and some of these things, and Brett has talked about this, but man, sometimes read these things out loud, because when you hear them out loud, it's like, man, you just hear them differently. So just a little freebie, I have to do that. And it's so helpful to hear it out loud sometimes. Any questions there? Does God love you? I mean, any questions? God loved David, but you can't question, even though I've done this for years, if whether or not God could love me or love you as much as he loved David. If you look at those next to each other, and there's more, God definitely expressed and showed his love to David, but God has shown us his love, and he loves you just as much as David or Moses or any of the saints that you look up to and admire. I like this, and this has been a fun and important study for me. I love David, but I love that we have our own stories. I love that I don't have to chase after David or Moses and try to be just like them. I love that I can be as close to God as David was. God's New Testament statements and promises make this undeniable. Here's the thing, though. God making promises to us and offering us an intimate relationship with him. I'm going to say it one more time. God making promises to us and offering us an intimate relationship with him is only one side of the coin. David was truly a man after God's heart because he believed those promises and engaged in relationship with God. David was truly a man after God's heart because he believed those promises and engaged in relationship. Engaged in relationship with God. He entered in to that relationship as a son or a daughter would with a loving father. God wants this. He wants you and I to enter in and to engage in relationship with him. He's ready. He's willing. And we get to do that. Not just with David, not just with Moses or Mary Magdalene or Joseph or any of those heroes. They're heroes, but he wants to do the same with us. So I'm going to end tonight. This is with a quote. And it's by a guy, his name is F.B. Meyer, and he's one of my favorite authors. And he wrote quite a bit on David, but I think he captures this idea and this thought in this quote, and I want to share it with you, and then we'll pray, and then you can go check the score, okay? So, try to hear this. This is pretty good. I wish I could write like this. Give all to God. Too many live lives of piecemeal consecration, giving a bit here and a bit there, but never all. David surrendered himself to do God's will utterly and in all, and so became a man after God's own heart. With what joy God's voice seems to quiver as he says, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, who shall fulfill all my will." Without reserve, holding nothing back, yield yourself to God and do. Yield yourself to God to be and do and suffer his will whatever it may be. Make sense? Everything God poured out on David, he wants to pour out on you. Every ounce of relationship and experience David had with God, he wants us to have. And we have to do nothing but engage. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for giving us strength. Thank you for choosing us. We thank you for David. We thank you for the men and women that have come before us that chose to follow you and chose to give you their lives. And we thank you for the example that they are in our lives. I pray that, Father, we would never hold back in chasing after you, Lord. Never hold back in straining after you because we don't think of ourselves in the same way as maybe a David or a Moses or a Joseph. Somehow we think ourselves smaller and of less importance to you. Your word is full of clear, true words against that sentiment. You have clearly laid out for us, Lord, even through tonight, through my bumbling presentation, Lord, that you love us and you want to have a relationship with us and that you would have all of us be your man or woman after your heart. Lord, what an honor. I pray that would be our desire. I pray that that would be the desire of our hearts. I pray that everything else would fall to the side and that we would be left standing just looking to you, Lord, to be our everything. Teach us how to do that, Lord. Teach us to shed whatever it is that's in standing in the way of that relationship with you. Teach us what it means to pray and to spend time with you. Teach us how to better seek you and to hear your voice. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you've promised to us that you would help us. I pray that we would cry out to you, Lord, even as we cry out in worship and in song before the service started, Lord, and it was awesome and amazing, and you heard us. I pray that in our walks day to day, we could cry out to you and just express ourselves to you, Lord, and listen and hear your voice right back, just as David did. You have that waiting for us, Lord, and my prayer is that this church, Lord, all of us here, that we would step into that amazing opportunity. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for choosing us, for giving us strength and defeating our enemy. Thank you for your grace. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We exalt you. We pray for your help and all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
To take advantage of our media ministry, we encourage you to visit us online anytime at atheycreek.com. There you'll find our guest speaker messages and all of Pastor Brett's Bible studies available as a free download.